Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the opportunity to join together here today. And we pray that you would bless us, that you would draw us close to you, that we would learn from your word. In the name of Christ, amen. One other thing we plan on doing next week, it is the first Sunday of the month. And it's been a number of first Sundays in a month since we were able to gather together on and we're going to have communion next Sunday. We are probably going to do virtual communion. We do not yet have in hand the little self-packed, you know, juice and wafer. They are on order. But next week we're going to do virtual communion. I hope you'll come prepared for that. You know, there are three times in Scripture where Jesus says to people with physical ailments, "Your faith has made you well." At this particular time, I wonder about that. Is it really true? Does it still work today? Some people think so. Most people don't. In just the last few months, since the beginning of this COVID-19 pandemic, many have struggled with this question. Does your faith make you well? Does our faith protect us from contracting a virus? And if we get the virus, does our faith grant us healing? Or maybe our faith would have us be non-symptomatic. We would have it, but not know. Do we perhaps have a leg up on our non-believing friends in the healing department? Worldwide, more than 450,000 people have died during this pandemic. That is so sad. Most of them are people you would never have heard of. You don't know their names. You don't know their history. But some of them have been well known. Ray Horn of Siegfried and Horn died of COVID-19. Tom Dempsey, the football player with the strange foot. But most of the individuals that have died of COVID are people you have never heard of and probably never will hear of. And yet, there are a group of people who have been made famous primarily because of their reliance upon faith to protect them from COVID or to heal them once they were infected. Many of them are pastors. Because after all, it is big news when a pastor relies upon his faith and his faith fails him. When a pastor says, "God will save me," and he still dies. Now, honestly, some of those pastors had some pretty crazy ideas. One pastor in Cameroon claimed to heal the stricken with the virus, and after his death, I find this kind of fascinating, but after his death, his followers contested the death ruling. They said, "He's not really dead." That's what they said about Jesus. And then his followers sought to keep his body for his resurrection. They had to bring in the armed services to get his body out and bury it because the people said, "No, he's not really dead." The first person to die from COVID-19 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was the 60-year-old pastor of St. Luke Baptist Church. I'm not sure I want to be famous for that. The news has, nearly since the beginning of this pandemic, blamed churches for its spread. So churches are closed, but bars and other gathering places remain open. I have a suspicion that's going to change. They close churches in part because churches are known to rely upon faith. That's a part of our response to the world around us. And we have read the good book, and three times Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." But in the face of this pandemic, I want to ask, is that really true? Does it still work today? Plenty of people have believed it. They've gone public with it, and they have seemingly been proven wrong. Pastors have believed it, they have preached it, and they've still died. What would make a person reject the medical care with which our nation so prides itself? Why would they say, "I'm not sure the doctors know what they're talking about, but even if they do, my God is bigger"? What would make a person risk his life on the basis of this idea? It is perplexing to the minds of many in our society of how a person can claim faith will heal. So we ridicule those whose faith has apparently failed them. Jesus may have said, "Your faith has made you well," but our observations of the way things really happen in the world would indicate that things just don't work that way. The people who are most dramatic in their application of faith at times don't see faith bring healing. So what is it about the faith of those pastors who have died of COVID? What is it about their faith which is lacking? How do we make sense of the death of men who, quite honestly, exhibit more faith than most of us? Men who trust God when science seems to refute him, or at least show that faith doesn't work. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." But when we look at the way things really are, there's a disconnect with reality. People still die. People of faith, young children, are not made well. What type of faith do we need to be made well? If it is faith that is needed, please, I say, tell us what that faith looks like. And so today, seeking an answer to that, we're going to turn to Mark chapter 10, one of the places where in Scripture Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." It's Mark 10, beginning with verse 46. "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and saying, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying, 'Take heart, get up, he's calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." This is the word of the Lord. So we are introduced in our text to this blind man named Bartimaeus, who, on the basis of his faith, regained his sight. I wonder if we can see when we're healed. Since he is the blind, this blind man is our example of one whose faith is credited with making him well, what type of faith did he have? Did he have the type of faith which will make him well? In the opening scene, we see Jesus leaving Jericho, the home of Herod's summer palace, and a blind man hears that he's coming along the way. So he begins in faith to call out to Jesus. The first point is that his faith is focused on Jesus. Faith which makes us well must be focused on Jesus. It is persistent. Such faith will not allow anyone to stand in the way of seeing Christ. As the blind man is calling out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on him," the crowd tries to shut him up and keep him from calling out to Jesus. He's not to be distracted. His faith is focused. People with a focused faith do not permit the crowd to keep them from Jesus. They won't let anyone stand in the way of seeing Jesus. So he calls out again and again, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." He calls out to Jesus as the Messiah, as Christ, as the Savior of the world. So intent upon getting the attention of Jesus is this blind man that no matter how many people tell him to shut up, no matter how sternly the crowd rebuked him, he still calls out. His faith focused on Jesus. Perhaps that's a key. Perhaps faith which makes you well needs to be focused upon Christ. Of course, we recognize that this sense of focus is rewarded in life. If you're an athlete, you know well the impact of focus, the ability to remain focused while others have lost theirs is what allows many to win athletic contests. The desire to have an opponent lose his focus is why basketball games, when there's a free throw, there's always people up there waving stuff and trying to keep the person's eyes off the goal. And if you watch professional golfers, you notice that part of the reason that they're rewarded for low scores is they have an ability to stay incredibly focused on the task at hand. Now, as a side note, I always wonder why golfers have to have it completely silent. You know, they hear a click of a camera and go, "Oh no, I can't play anymore. Get some focus, guys. Join the big leagues." But nevertheless, we know focus has its rewards. In the business world, it's the same thing. Those who are focused upon success will not allow anything to get in their way. We reward focus with such commitment, with persistence and determination on a regular basis. So maybe it's the same thing with faith. The focused faith of this blind man caught the attention of Jesus, who stopped and asked that the man be called to him. His focused faith is rewarded with a personal invitation to come into the presence of Jesus. And it leads to another facet of faith shown in Bartimaeus. His faith is not merely focused. His faith is fanatical. Upon hearing that Jesus stopped along the road and was calling for him, this blind man who's been sitting at the side of the road threw his cloak, jumped up, and came to Jesus. His faith is not just focused on Jesus, it's fanatical. Envision the scene of the blind man calling out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." The crowd responds, "Shut up, don't bother the man, keep quiet." What would you do with a man cursed by blindness? Or what would he do with a man cursed by blindness? Why would Jesus have anything to do with you? But Jesus does stop. And he does want something to do with him. And that which others saw as a curse, the blindness of Bartimaeus, Jesus sees as an opportunity, and he calls the man. And the crowd changes its tune, just like that. Hey, take courage, stand up, he's calling for you. This focused faith leads to a fanatical obedience because there is no hesitation on Bartimaeus' part. There's no slow meandering, I'll get there in a little bit. There's no request for help. There's no care for earthly possessions. No second thought about what would happen as a blind man throws his cloak. How's he going to find it? He just tosses it aside. His cloak is good as lost. He's giving up his favorite begging spot. So few of us are so fanatical in our faith that we would throw aside whatever encumbers us in order to come to Jesus. But this blind man, this one of whom Jesus says, your faith has made you well, this man was a fanatic. It didn't matter who was trying to dissuade him. It didn't matter what he had to give up in order to get into the presence of Jesus. All that mattered to him was that he had called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus had responded and he was going to get in front of Jesus. It was nothing to him to throw aside his cloak. It was nothing for him to respond with eagerness and anticipation. He was willing to be a fanatic for Christ. With excessive enthusiasm and devotion, he jumps up and goes to Jesus. But what do we do with fanatics? We ridicule them. But when you think about it, fanatics tend to get what they want. If you're a fanatic fisherman, first of all, I'll pray for you. But anyway, if you're a fanatic fisherman, you are likely to get to the river early, to be at the best fishing spot before us casual fishermen even get out of bed. And I use us very loosely because if I have a choice, I'm not going to go to the river to fish. But a fanatical fisherman, they get up early, they've got all the right equipment, they know what the fish are biting on today. Because they study water temperature and all kinds of stuff. They're fanatics. And you know what fanatics get? Fish. You know what I get? Whoppers. And not a fish. I mean, you know, a sandwich that somebody else has made. If you're fanatical about a musical group, you're willing to camp out all night to get the best tickets to the concert. The rest of us might get a ticket in the nosebleed section. Fanaticism may look strange to us at times, but it's often rewarded. What type of faith will make you well? The blind man had a faith which was focused on Jesus, and it was fanatical. But our example of faith which makes you well does not stop there. He comes to Jesus and is asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Whenever I read Jesus asking a question, I think, why did he ask that question? Didn't he know? Didn't he understand what the man wanted? It's one of these questions in Scripture where it's there only for the answer. He didn't need to ask the question, but we need to see the answer. Bartimaeus says, Rabbi, I want to regain my sight. In this response, you begin to see the third facet of faith which made this man well. The term which the blind man uses for Jesus is used only one other place in Scripture. It is the term which Mary used of Jesus outside the garden where he had been laid. Rabbi, Rabboni. It means more than just teacher. It means master. It means Lord. It is an expression of personal faith. Coming to Jesus, the blind man expresses his complete willingness to follow Jesus wherever he would lead. Perhaps faith which makes us well is not only focused and fanatical, but it follows Jesus wherever he leads. This is, of course, exactly what we see in the next verse. For we are told that Jesus responded to him with those incredible words, your faith has made you well. And our text tells us that he regained his sight and he began following him on the road. Faith, which makes you well, follows Jesus wherever he leads. Here is a man who without hesitation has called out to Jesus amidst the opposition of the crowd, has thrown aside his cloak, and now follows Jesus as his master. He doesn't know what's in store for him in following Jesus. In the days to come, he will enter Jerusalem with Jesus. Having given up his cloak, he'll have to rely upon palm branches to lay at his feet. Jesus looked at the faith of this man, a faith which was focused, a faith which was fanatical, a faith which was willing to follow him. He looked at this faith and said, "Your faith has made you well." What type of faith makes you well? In this case, it was a faith which was focused, fanatical, and willing to follow. But here's the problem. It doesn't seem to work today. People of faith still die. They get sick. They suffer. No matter how much faith you have, you get cancer. You have a stillborn child. Does it sit well with your soul to say that people of faith who aren't healed have a faith which is lacking? Does it sit well with you to say your faith is not focused enough, Pastor? You're not fanatical enough, missionary? You're not following Jesus? If faith will make you well, how come there are sick Christians? If faith will make you well, how come people still lose their battle of faith over illness? How come young children die? It is because being made well does not mean you'll be healed of all sickness. Because you can't always see when you are healed. Being made well does not mean you'll be able to save the life of a child. Being made well does not mean that you will be disease-free. Being made well has a whole lot to do, more to do with our souls than with our bodies. I told you that there are three times when Jesus uses this phrase where he tells someone their faith has made them well. We've just looked at one of them, the healing of Bartimaeus. The second is the healing of 10 lepers. All 10 lepers were healed. They were sent on their way to present themselves to the priests. But one of them returned to Jesus after seeing that he'd been healed of his leprosy. And glorifying God, he fell on his face and gave thanks to Jesus. And Jesus, after that, after commenting that the fact that 10 were cleansed and only one returned to him, so after 10 guys were healed, one comes back and Jesus says to the one, "Your faith has made you well." The other 9 didn't become unwell. The third time this phrase is used is at the healing of the woman who touched his garment in the middle of the crowd. You're familiar with the incident. Jesus is walking through crowded streets, jostled by the pressing crowd of people, when a woman, stricken with an illness of a dozen years, comes up behind him and touches the fringe of his garment. Mark tells us that having touched his cloak, immediately the hemorrhage which had plagued her for so long, immediately the hemorrhage for which she had visited so many doctors, immediately the flow of blood was stopped and she knew she was healed. And then Jesus called out to her and said to her, "Your faith has made you well." So Bartimaeus is told, "Your faith has made you well," before he can see. The leper and the woman are told their faith has made them well after they have been healed. They had already received their healing. The wellness which comes from faith is not primarily physical. It is a wellness of the soul. So being made well does not mean you'll be able to see. Having faith does not mean that you'll be protected from a virus. Being made well does not mean that you will be disease-free. Being made well has a whole lot more to do with our souls than with our bodies, and I want to help you out there because you're thinking, really, Pastor, each of these incidences, it looks like it was physical healing. Well, the Greek word used in the phrase which is translated made you well is used 106 times in the New Testament. 86, so something over 80% of the times when that phrase is used in the New Testament, it is translated as saved. Let that sink in. We could very easily translate this, your faith has saved you. When Bartimaeus asked to regain his sight, he gained far more. When the leper returned to glorify God, he received not merely cleansing from his leprosy. When the woman touched the garment of Jesus and spoke with him, she received not merely the healing of a long-term illness. What they received was a wellness of the soul. Through faith, God saved their souls. And through faith, God will heal your soul. He will make you whole. He will give you an inner healing. What type of faith? A faith which is focused upon Jesus, which is fanatical about obeying Him and always willing to follow Him. Faith will make you well, but it won't always give you physical sight. It won't always give you physical healing. It will give you the ability to see things from God's perspective, and it will give you comfort and wholeness to your soul. That is a faith which will save you. It will make you well in your soul. And frankly, if you are well in your soul, nothing else really matters. Amen? Let's pray together. Almighty God, we dearly desire that you would bring healing to our land, to all of the individuals that we know and those that we don't know who have been infected with this virus. We pray, Lord, that you would give us physical healing, but we recognize that far more important is that you would save our souls, that you would save the souls of our nation, of our world, that people would turn to you, not with the expectation that you're going to be the big doctor in the sky who just sprinkles physical healing on the world, but rather that you are the Savior of mankind, that you would save us from that which really is hurting us, that you would save us from our sin, that you would save us for glory. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would use this time, whether we are completely well and never touched by COVID, or whether we encounter those that are and even ourselves get this virus, we pray that you would help us always to remember that our faith has saved us, that our faith makes us whole in the inner man. And we dwell on that. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to show the world that no matter what happens around us, our faith has made it well with our souls. In the name of Christ, amen.